This is Mae Brussel. It's broadcast number 742, February 24th, 1986. I forgot to mention when I began the program that World Watchers is going to continue. I was going to finish 15 years on the air as of June 30th of 1986. That is a good hunk of years to be on every single week without missing a program, and I thought that I would like to write some books and articles and put a lot of tension into the writing. But with events that come up, such as the space shuttle, the disaster there, and the problem of AIDS and the problem of advanced genetic scientists, and the various, there's thousands of on-running news stories that I've shared with you through the years, and many of the pieces of those puzzles now are coming into view. It's much more important to take the weekly news as it comes and share that with you. The news each week is alive, and I realize when these events come down, like they have in the last few weeks, how much I'm in touch with various friends and writers and subscribers to the tapes and activists, and we share information, and people mail me information, and I'm so grateful, and it enlarges my knowledge by what I receive from them, and they can keep track each week of what I am doing. And this radio work is so much a part of my experiences and the people I know and really love that it's a shame to cut it off. The written book, the written word, is sometimes understood and not sometimes understood, but the media, the videotape and the tape cassette is really a good way to communicate with people. I've been satisfied with it and the radio work the way it is. So for those of you that were worried and concerned, and some of you were very concerned about us not being able to exchange on a weekly basis or even more often than that, all of this information, I decided that it was just impossible to have a cutoff date. So as long as I'm around and you're around, we're in it together, and I will continue the radio work as I have done and share it with you. So don't worry, you can subscribe to the tapes and you can listen to the broadcast, and I will continue on the air. I forgot, as I say, to mention that, the first of the program. Now, I did hand out at Monterey County Supervisors Meeting a slip of paper with quotation from that book, The Higher Form of Killing, that I've shared with you before. David Emery bought me that book, The Secret Story of Chemical and Biological Warfare. And again, in that book, it talks out about Fort Detrick, Maryland, and the possibility of a super germ that could be produced in a laboratory that would affect the immune system. So Fort Detrick is the same place that was cited in articles in 1984 exposing those labs in Oakland from 1970 to 1950 to 1970, and then 1969 AGS moves out to the West Coast. I also handed out and shared with you on the air a group called CROPEC, C-R-O-P-E-C, which is typical of the monopolies that go on, whether it's IG Farben with their various monopolies and their dyes and their chemical monopolies, and OPEC, the oil monopolies. CROPEC has to do with food monopolies and directors of the Chase Manhattan that control food as well as oil. And Chase Manhattan and the Rockefellers are important also, as having a Rockefeller Institute going into medical experimentations, medical research, and they don't limit their specialties to such as oil or dyes or foodstuffs. They go into the systems of the body, the immune systems and cancer viruses, and mingle their profits with the weapons of biological warfare that can wipe out people while at the same time they can multiply their profits. Now, one of the articles I cited just by title last week that I want to share the details is called $1 Billion Grant for Biomedicine. It was February the 3rd in New York Times by Kathleen Telsch, T-E-L-T-S-C-H. It has to do with the Howard Hughes Medical Institute. Howard Hughes is one of the most interesting and scary persons that ever came across the political warfare scene in the United States, and I have four filing cabinet drawers, one entire cabinet just filled with papers on Howard Hughes and every book that's been written about Howard Hughes, and there weren't very many, and of course I feel that I have studied him a lot to come to some very scary opinions and feelings about the Hughes organization. And Howard Hughes set up a medical institute that used to be run by Marvin Gaye, his associate, who was a chauffeur who ran the institute in Florida, and money would go and profits do go from used aircraft, and that's now been sold to General Motors, but that huge chunk of profits, it still goes to the medical institute after the sale. And the used medical institute has a place in Florida where it's a dummy front, a little tiny building, and now it has gone to Bethesda, Maryland, which is right next to the Central Intelligence Agency. And Hughes was the CIA. Robert Mayhew, who worked for Howard Hughes, worked for the CIA and FBI and worked with anti-Castro Cubans and Guy Bannister and John Rosselli and Sam Giancana and people behind the murder of John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King. It was the umbrella, I always said, for the Nazification of America. So when the Howard Hughes Medical Institute hands out their money, and they don't always tell you where it goes. You're just going to get an overview here, and then you have to have a very good imagination and get out some files of past work of these particular institutions. They announced just 2 weeks ago that $1 billion would be spent in the next 5 years, and Dr. Donald S. Frederickson, president of the institute, said that they will send money to 22 laboratories and teaching facilities that include 14 states, that some laboratories now are operated by the institute and some are just being built. The Hughes Institute has its headquarters, this article says, in Bethesda. And when they give away this $1 billion, which is hundreds of millions, they don't have to dip into their capital. This is just the interest on money that they have. This was a tax write-off for Hughes aircraft to put into our body and body system. And as of yet today, I can't think of one medical thing that they've come up with, or they certainly haven't advertised anything they've done with their billions of dollars. Dr. Frederickson said that the institute was the sole owner of Hughes aircraft until it was sold just recently. It was created in 1953 by Mr. Hughes. Actually, Howard Hughes had an airplane accident in which he was almost killed, and Vern Mason, the doctor who got him better, and well, created the idea of the institute, and partly Howard wasn't supposed to be able to take care of his own affairs, and this institute was manipulated and put together, and I have all the, not all the legal papers, but the background papers on the institute. Later, Vern Mason was murdered. He set this up, and if you know that when a man called Howard Hughes was buried, it actually was a Vance Cooper, but that skeleton, either one, was down to about 80 pounds with needles in its body and dehydrated and compared to a corpse at Auschwitz. So this gives you some idea of how the medical institute took care of Howard Hughes. And so if you want to know what happens to you, look back into the history of April 1976 when a body from Mexico dead was flown in to Houston, Texas, and you realize what technology they used on that corpse. Goodness knows there was no interest in that particular person's kidneys or nourishment or well-being. But anyway, the article goes on about the money. Most of the research undertakings will be in four areas of specialization. And I just touched on them briefly last week: in genetics, immunology, metabolic control, and neuroscience. I mean, okay, because I mistrust the whole Hughes outfit from A to Z, and if you've read 3 books on Hughes, you'd get scared that they have a medical institute at all. The article goes on, over $100 million will be spent in the Boston area for research at the Massachusetts General Hospital, and one of the directors of AGS is on the board and active at Massachusetts General Hospital. Children's Hospital, the most vulnerable of all people, of course, the little children, and the Brigham and Women's Hospital. Dr. Frederickson said that they'll be singling out the program with these 3 hospitals as exemplifying the institute's approach. The important element is that we create a new capacity for interaction between those engaged in fundamental research in molecular genetics, and those engaged in sophisticated application of this research to clinical problems. Molecular genetics and sophisticated applications of this research. Now, the advanced genetic sciences were going to take their bacteria, and they had it listed as a pesticide, and I mentioned this before because in California, the local area can't control what pesticides are used, but it is a living bacteria, and when asked at the hearings, what's the pesticide, they said, well, cold weather's a pest. So if you fight cold weather, you're a pesticide. But they're going into molecular genetics and their application. So trying to put an altered bacteria, genetically altered with one gene removed, into these fields to see how far it spreads, and admitting, okay, even if you don't have frost, we'll see how it travels, could be a sophisticated application of research, and that's all it is. And the people up at AGS have said that they've spent $20 million. So where did they get the buckaroos again to spend the $20 million and the money from overseas? It easily is sent over there and then comes back into our valley. The new facilities in New York that are being built include a building adjacent to the Children's Hospital in Boston, a new research facility at Rockefeller University in New York, and some of the team from AGS came from Rockefeller, and used by the Institute and the University and a Center for Molecular Medicine at Yale University. There's so many things that ring in my head when I hear about Yale and sending research money there. They're also going to put funds into Columbia University, Johns Hopkins, Duke University, Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri, Vanderbilt University in Nashville, and Tennessee, Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, and at Stanford University. So it will be going to Stanford, and then they will send money to Pennsylvania, Chicago, Texas, Michigan, Washington, and Utah, and the University of California, Los Angeles, San Diego, and San Francisco. Of course, Los Angeles is where Dr. Jolly West worked with Ronald Reagan to plan to put electrodes into the heads of prisoners and poor to test their ability to resist temptations to anger or frustration, translated as violence, and medically making zombies out of people and creating violence in laboratories and releasing these people out large in the university, from university laboratories onto society to do a lot of the crimes that are done later, such as Donald DeFries and the Patty Hearst kidnapping and the use of the criminal conspiracy section of the police departments, working closely with the University of California and also the police with Jim Jones and their experimentations with Stanford Research, the Stanford Institute down in Jonestown, Jim Jones having a supply of drugs enough for a population of 10,000 people. The universities are very good at taking money and putting it in places that to be allowed to test not only minorities, but to test very bright people like that Leonard Keeley in Boston I mentioned before, who had this brain operation, electrode implants. He became violent. They removed the thinking or feeling parts of his brain and reduced him to a vegetable with some of the fine staff at the Boston Hospital back there. And also Howard Hughes himself left Los Angeles, Beverly Hills, California, in 1966 and was taken to a hospital in Boston and then was never physically ever seen again after they did some surgery on the brain. So having a lot of money doesn't mean that people won't take it from you or kidnap you or drug you, experiment on you. And there is no one to say that they saw him. Robert Mayhew never saw him. And all the top people, Chester Davis and people that worked with Hughes, there were five nurses, the Mormon Mafia, who saw him. But the hospitals in Utah and the Mormons are the recipients of a lot of this medicine also. And goodness knows, after you can do a disappearing act with a man that rich and famous, how easy it is to do with just the ordinary person. Now, the details of another story on the Hughes trustees came out of the Los Angeles Herald April 27, 1984, when the Hughes aircraft was making the transition from, it soon would be going, they didn't say they were headed for sale then, they sold it in 1985 to General Motors, but they were changing the controls of the Hughes Medical Institute at this time. There was described as a six-year legal battle over who would run the Howard Hughes Medical Institute, because the Hughes aircraft in California ended with the appointment of eight trustees for the Institute. So the military, the Air Force, very important with the shuttle, with the launching, with the Star Wars, the SDI, the Air Force, and the Hughes aircraft made the decision of who on the board of the Hughes Medical Institute would decide where this money would go, and eight trustees, it was agreed upon, would take over. Since Hughes' death in 1976, and the article doesn't say since Vance Cooper's death, that's who's in the grave, they say Howard Hughes, the Institute has been run by its executive committee. In 1978, then Delaware Attorney General Richard Weir filed suit in court, maintaining that the committee didn't have any power anymore to take control under the terms of Hughes' will because Hughes was the sole trustee. So there was a legal battle, and the Institute has offices in Miami, but the president of the Institute listed as new trustees is George W. Thorne, who also administered to Howard Hughes, and Frank W. Gay, appointed to be the Institute's executive committee in 1971, former chief executive of the Hughes-owned Summa Corporation, Donald Fredrickson, former director of the National Institute of Health, Irving Shapiro, former chief executive officer of DuPont, Hannah Gray, president of the University of Chicago, Helen Copley, chairman of the Copley Newspapers, headquarters in San Diego, James Gilliam, senior vice president of Beneficial Corporation, and William Lewis, a nephew of Howard Hughes. But the important people on this board to continue the future of where the money is going are from the DuPont Company, the University of Chicago, and those people can make some very, very important decisions in the future. Now, the article that I cited on the outline of EPA approving the genetic test last week, that went October the 30th, 1985, told about the White House pressures. The Environmental Protection Agency is caving in for pressures to push the experiment of a genetically altered bacteria. And even though this experiment was blocked in 1983, the White House was putting pressure. Now, you notice that with all the articles on pollution, with the Buford scandal, with the James Watt scandal, they never put pressure on Environmental Protection Agency to clean up any particular area. And in fact, they ordered them not to, because Jerry Brown, running for the office of Senate, might get some brownie points. So when the EPA gets pressure, it is to work with genetically altered organisms, not to clean up what we have here that's literally killing us off. But, and this article came out just the end of the year, a California biotechnology company is expected to win federal approval within the next 2 weeks, pardon me, for the release in the environment of a genetically altered living organism. And as I mentioned last week on World Watchers, they still call it a California company. When the money comes from Belgium and it comes from Sweden and it comes from Roman Haas, it was set up with their German brothers over there, Mr. Haas being an American living in Philadelphia, but Mr. Rome being German and working as part of IG Farben and with DuPont, they still refer to this company as being an Oakland company when it is a splinter of a larger group. This group never made $6 million last year. They never made the $20 million in Oakland that they said they have put into this testing so far. So the articles still cry small, and they're not small. And it's a wonder that they can get away with this. These dummy fronts, they've always been noticed as small, and the connections to the mommy and daddy just seem to be separated all of this time. Wednesday, October 30th, 1985, there was an article in the Oakland Tribune, Oakland firm set for first in genetics. And again, telling them that how Oakland is, that firm is going to roll along, and the University of California, a laboratory expert there, Steve Lindau, has been working on these experiments, and that he is ready to roll with the biotech industry. And as soon as the EPA gives approval, they clear the way and they're on their way. Now, the corporate directory of AGS, I just want to read you the names and the places where they come from, because, as I say, the articles give you this little bitty company from Oakland, and again, the story, No Strawberry Fields Forever, here. Out of the San Francisco Examiner, February the 16th, cites David Andrews, a lawyer hired by Advanced Genetic Sciences, for saying the company has spent 6 years and $20 million in research on the bacteria. And from what I've heard, they've made up their minds down there, and I gave this to you before, that they take it upon themselves to stand in front of the federal and state government, and they want to drive the industry out of the United States and go on out. And then he says, there's a real education job to be done. I'm not sure a small company can take it on. And I cite that for you again to show you just how small it is. We're just an itsy-bitsy little company, and we put this money in, and if you don't like it, we may take it out of the United States. And I said, good, goodbye, go. Well, here are the people on the, according to their corporate directory, and you see if it's a small company in California. Daniel D. Adams, I cited as chairman and chief executive. He came out of the offices of Sullivan and Cromwell that represent IG Farben and the company that made the extermination gas, the 34 million LSD. Alan and John Foster Dulles are from and work with the Sullivan and Cromwell offices, and Daniel Adams came out here in 1969 to set up AGS. Thomas M. Deote, Ph.D., president and chief operating officer. He is the one from Princeton University who came out here to take over when the approval was turned down in 1984-83. He said, I'm coming out anyway, and eventually we'll get what we want. John R. Bedbrook, Ph.D., vice president and director of research. Anthony G. Markert, M-A-R-K-E-R-T, vice president, finance, and chief financial officer. Pat Milaga, Ph.D. Now, he's from Hungary, Eastern European connections. He's listed as director of cell biology. David Sarajak, Ph.D., director of marketing and production. Ann Lang, director of corporate communications. And then we get into the people out of this area, too. John Maynard is one of the officers on the board, the corporate secretary. He's senior partner of Rebull, McMurray, Hewitt, Maynard, and Crystal, a New York firm, law firm. And then Daniel Adams is the board of directors. Those are the officers. Daniel Adams, again, Sullivan Cromwell, board of directors. Thomas Deote from Princeton on the board of directors. And Lawrence Bogorod, whose biography I gave to you before, who's professor of biology and head of the biology department under the Maria Moores Cabot, the Henry Cabot Lodge Group in Boston, Massachusetts. He's in the biology department at Harvard. Arne Emanuelson, managing director. He's on the board from Hillshog AB, H-I-L-L-E-S-H-O-G, from Landskrona, Sweden. And a hunk of the money comes from Sweden. And Robert E. Naylor, Jr., Ph.D., I've described him in the past few weeks, from Roman Haas Company in Philadelphia, and he also worked for DuPont, and he's the common board of director member between Roman Haas, this huge multi-billion dollar corporation that has been accused in courts of having pesticides or chemicals that caused cancer in human beings. Roderick B. Thompson, private investor from Hamilton, Bermuda, money coming up here from Bermuda to the company. B.F. Wesson, senior vice president. He's from Smith, Barney, Harris, Upman and Company in New York, New York, Smith, Barney. Then they go to the scientific board, includes Lawrence Bogorod, a professor of biology from Harvard, and John Bedbrook, Ph.D. from Berkeley, California, working with advanced genetic scientists. Niels Olof Bosbark, Ph.D. from Landskrona, Sweden, where the money bucks come in from Sweden. Howard M. Goodman, Ph.D., chief of the Department of Molecular Biology, Massachusetts General Hospital, and they're recipients of the Howard Hughes aircraft military money that goes through Bethesda, Maryland, up to Massachusetts General. Professor of Genetics at Harvard. Goodman is also a professor of genetics at Harvard Medical School, Boston, Massachusetts. And then I briefly described Pat Maliga, Ph.D., director of cell biology for AGS in Berkeley, section head of the Institute of Plant Physiology in Szeged, Hungary, S-Z-E-G-E-D, Hungary, Biological Research Center. Joseph Schell, S-C-H-E-L-L, on the scientific board of AGS, director of the Max Planck Institute for Plant Improvement, and I don't know if I'll have time this week to describe the Nazification of Max Planck, but we can get into that next week. He's co-director for Genetics Research Laboratory from the University of Ghent in Belgium, and you understand that the people from Sweden, Hungary, and Belgium have no frost that they can test. They've got to do it out here in nice, warm Monterey County. Charles Tatum is a member of the Scientific Board, managing exploratory agriculture research from Roman Haas from Springhouse, Pennsylvania, and Mark Van Montague, Ph.D., science director of Plant Genetic Systems Laboratory out of Ghent, Belgium, co-director of Genetic Research Laboratory, University of Ghent, Ghent, Belgium, putting our bacteria, the live genetic with one gene removed, to see how it travels out here in California. The auditors for this company, I mentioned once before, Arthur Anderson from the Avenue of Americas in New York, that's 6th Avenue, the transfer agent and registrar for their funds, because we're talking about $20 million already that they said they put into this bacteria that they want to put on a few strawberry leaves out here, Morgan Guarantee Trust Company of New York City, 30 West Broadway. Don't tell me this isn't big bucks. From Bermuda, from Smith Barney, from the Morgan Guarantee Trust, from Belgium, from Sweden, from Max Planck Institute. There's a lot of power in this organization, and also they have offices, the Biofrost in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, and Plant Genetic Systems in Ghent, Belgium, and in Brussels, Belgium, with their overseas telex numbers and so forth. It can't be very small. In their book on Frostban, a member of the World Watchers, you're all members. Anyone who listens is a member. I guess the official membership is getting articles and sharing research. And in their brochure for the past year, they said for 1984, we had a net loss of $6,997,905.06. I always wonder if it wasn't 507 and they put it 6 when they go down to that last dollar. The loss was in line with our expectations, but has not substantially detracted from the progress we are bringing and making to bring our initial product to the market. We can now foresee AGS becoming a full self-supporting system. AGS intends to substantially increase the dollar amount of its research contracts in 1985. This is feasible because of our recent progress. It has been firmly established the excellence of our Berkeley laboratory. Well, all of it's coming from over there. AGS has secured commitments from its major industrial shareholders, the major industrial, Roman Haas Company, Hills Hog, AB, and AB Arithmos. Those are from Sweden and also from Belgium, for an aggregate of $2.2 million in funding as part of a larger financing package being arranged among European investors by a leading European investment banking firm. This is AGS in Monterey County with their money coming from links to the past that are scary and to their moving into this area. Now, this article, No Strawberry Fields Forever, I can share some of that with you for a few moments. The uproar, this is the way it was written by Catherine Seligman. The uproar over the nation's first field test of genetically altered bacteria in Monterey County strawberry field already has resulted in a lawsuit. Last week, the county supervisors blocked the experiment for 45 days in a move that could affect the commercial future of biotechnology in California. Again, why bring it to California? Go take it somewhere else. If the future of all this is so important, test it in your own backyard. The article goes on, the negative reaction came as a surprise to scientists after hearings they had at the Advanced Genetic Sciences. They planned to spray these tiny organisms on strawberry plants to see if they would colonize. We are convinced the science is safe, but some people have watched TV shows that are Frankensteinian in nature, said Douglas Sarajak, a plant pathologist and director of the Oakland-based company. We spent this much time and we still find there's an information gap and we don't know why. Scientists are thinking of having an animated cartoon made or visiting high school biology classes to explain the state-of-the-art technology that is spooking the prime agricultural county in the nation. It's too bad Krista McAuliffe isn't alive, because you have a teacher in space and she could teach the high schools while she's at it state-of-art technology that is spooking the prime agricultural county. It's the most benign conceivable thing in the world, said Dr. David Kingsbury, assistant director of the National Science Foundation and a member of the Presidential Biotechnical Sciences Coordinating Committee. Poor AGS just happens to be the first in the country. I must say I feel sorry for them. They must be at their wits' end. And isn't this pitiful? The words that, and then they quote a person who's had a lawsuit against it. The words they do have aren't enough, says Glenn Church, and he grows Christmas trees in the area. It's like the dawn of the nuclear age, Church said. There's a lot of things we could have done differently. I'm afraid in 40 years we'll look back and say we sure made mistakes in the 80s. the bacteria, two strains known as Pseudomonas syringae and Pseudomonas fluorescens, normally live on plants, but by deleting a gene, scientists have created a bacteria that won't allow frost to form, and they want to spray the bacteria in a powder called Frostban on 2,400 strawberries in the fields. And I've given you the gist of this article, and I'll do a little bit more on some of the companies related to this particular firm with you next week. I shared some of this before, but it's very important to understand the relationship between international corporations, banks from the Morgan Guaranty Trust, and Smith Barney, and the huge financial companies coming here to this area to test something that may affect the immune system is similar to the federal government putting labs for 20 years into Oakland, and when they're discovered, they quickly close the door, and all of a sudden another company is opened up that comes out of the offices of Sullivan Cromwell, which is chemical and biological warfare. Our time is up now, so I'm going to stop with this. I'll be back with you next week to continue with all the news that is important that we should say that we can put on a program in just 1 hour. This is Mae Bressel, and take care, and I'll be back with you next week.